Hi, and welcome to Westchester Words UK and International. I'm Rebecca Jerose Croft, Content and Services Director at Westchester Education Services. So, now the summer term has ended, and we can look back on 18 extraordinary months of our children's schooling, in particular, homeschooling. Perhaps now it feels like a safe time to look back and have a think about what we learned, or maybe what we learned about what we needed to learn to teach our children. And today we're talking with literacy consultant Sarah Loder about the lessons learnt in lockdown in terms of how our children were taught and how they learn. So let's start with those Zoom lessons then, Sarah. What kind of insight did we build on?
Hi, Rebecca. On a personal level, I found it fascinating. And it's not something that normal schooling offers most of us as parents, that kind of chance to observe and sort of be part of our children's school day, or certainly elements of it. I think lots of parents were able to witness how their children interacted with others, their peers, the teacher, their level of confidence in terms of participating in discussions, answering questions, what topics interested them, and which turned them straight off. The subjects and concepts they found difficult, and I guess the things that came more easily to them. I think for parents who glean a bit less from their children on the walk home from school in terms of what they've done all day, it offered enormous insight.
Oh yeah, I bet. I mean, kids come home from school. I mean, my daughter comes home from school and I'll say, what did you do? What did you eat? And she just says, I don't know. So it makes me wonder how teachers might have felt kind of being the opposite of that and suddenly not having that insight.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think lots of teachers probably felt really daunted by the prospect, not only of Zoom teaching, which in itself, I think, had some challenges, but by the idea of teaching their class of 30 in front of all those children's parents. Because for us, certainly, it wasn't possible to leave our son to conduct his lessons on his own due to his kind of age and stage. He couldn't work the technology, the muting and unmuting. And we really needed to kind of be there to get the gist of the tasks and activities. And I guess if I'm honest, kind of keep him focused and concentrating.
Yeah, of course.
But we did try to stay in the background, sort of more bystanders than active participants, which I have to say is easier said than done when you're watching your child scribble something that's completely wrong or refuse to volunteer an answer when they know it or get the jitters about something. But we did try.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it must have taken parents a fair bit of restraint to maintain that bystander position. But what could it provide and what type of things might it have gleaned just by watching?
Well, I can certainly identify with that challenge and that self-restraint. Mm. But what's interesting, I think, is to see how children in a class react to each other, how they kind of bounce off each other, or they're encouraged or discouraged by the different personalities in the class, what builds their confidence and what knocks it down, the effect the teacher has on that dynamic, how well she or he is able to draw things out of children, perhaps curb over-enthusiasm in others. As a parent, being able to see where your child slots into that bigger picture can be really enlightening. Mm. And if you're able to take a step back from the kind of immediacy of it, which is really difficult, it's interesting to see how those classroom dynamics kind of play out. I think it's easy to assume that because parents know their children so well, that they know them in every environment. And one of the things I was struck by was how different my son was at kind of school, so to speak, than he was at home with us.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. So what way was he different?
Just a lot quieter, I think, less sure of himself, happy kind of drifting into the background, quite a lively, willing observer, but an observer nonetheless, so not as involved as I thought he'd be. I'm really, really concerned about getting things wrong, which I think, and having spoken to a lot of peers and friends, I think that's quite common. That kind of fear of making a mistake was quite debilitating at times.
Yes, yeah.
And watching the impact that pattern of behaviour has in terms of being able to participate in class and take risks and ask for help is really illuminating. So there can be a sort of domino effect, which is useful to witness firsthand in order to be able to react and respond to it. Parents are obviously responding to their children's behaviour all the time, but having the chance to respond specifically to those classroom attitudes or personas was definitely an interesting and surprising opportunity of lockdown. So a response of that to that fear of getting it wrong might be about teaching resilience in terms of learning.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought of it from that point of view, that a child would have felt quite worried and scared of doing that lesson in front of their parents. And it's not just doing it in front of your teacher, it's, you know, the two people who are the most focus point of your life. Mm. That must have been really daunting for them. So what does that learning resilience look like then?
I guess it's about having the confidence and the assurance to try things. Mm. And it's interesting because we teach that a lot in terms of physical activities with our children from when they're quite tiny, you know, learning to walk, riding a bike, climbing a tree. We're constantly pushing them out of their comfort zone to experience new things, get to know their physical capabilities. But I don't think we do that as much when it comes to learning, because I guess to some degree we're less involved in that side of things from when they start school, and actually for some of us from when they start nursery or preschool. And of course there is homework and some at-home activities and reading and perhaps some writing, but in a broader sense we leave that to school. And suddenly we're in this situation where we could watch our children trying to solve a maths problem or interpret a story or spell something new, and it wasn't just about whether they had the capability to do that task, it was about how they were able to do it in that classroom environment with their peers, with less attention, with a time structure. So kind of how willing and able they were to take risks, make judgments, put themselves out there. That's what was new to a lot of parents, and that was what was really interesting.
So in those situations there, where there is that lack of confidence or resilience, how should parents have, well, in an ideal world, which we definitely weren't in at the time, how should parents have been supporting children in those Zoom classrooms?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because it goes back to the idea of how involved we were meant to be and how helpful that actually was.
Yes.
I mean, you're not able to sit with them in the classroom and encourage them and support them. So how much you do that within a Zoom lesson depends on your kind of how you feel as a parent, I think, and how teachers might have responded to that. I think for some children, it may have been useful to have someone in the background reminding them how much they can do. But I think the most important thing is really about having seen that behaviour or any behaviour that we witnessed during lockdown and during those Zoom lessons. It's kind of what we do with that information moving forward. So children are generally back at school now, as you said, and we're not able to sit alongside them. But we are armed with a bit more knowledge about the factors that affect their learning, which can only be a positive thing, I think. It might not be a lack of confidence. Some parents will have seen their children's confidence and capacity emerge in that environment. They may have seen children more involved than they expected, more central in that dynamic. Perhaps they notice their children lead more than they thought they would, take a bit more ownership, be more commanding. It just provided a window into how our children operate in an environment, perhaps arguably one of the only environments when they're very young, that we're almost entirely excluded from as parents. Of course, I'm not sure you can say the same for older children who will have been working much more independently and privately, you'd have thought, though depending on how kind of home workstations were set up, there may still have been the odd glimpse into their classroom personas.
Yeah, I mean, I was very different in school than I was at home throughout my school life. So it was that kind of glimpse into them in a different world, wasn't it? But I guess there's a question now about what we do with that knowledge now we're armed with it.
Yes, and I think it's really valuable to see what makes our children tick in different environments. And I think the more we know, you know, the more useful that is. So for learning, understanding what impacts that, what that might be about the atmosphere we create, perhaps the level of challenge we set, how much support we offer, or the type of activity that children are doing, and how we kind of generate interest, I guess. It's about building towards a more successful learning scenario now that we're out of homeschooling, how we adapt that in our lives moving forward. I guess we've learned a bit about how our children learn rather than what they know. And that might have been a slightly unexpected positive outcome of homeschooling.
Yeah.
I think many parents are able to communicate with their children and provide for them in a different way than they could before lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm sure. So the big question then is, what can parents do differently going forward?
Well, of course, it's totally individual. But just knowing that, for instance, your child responds very well to imaginative activities or problem-solving tasks, that they work better independently or with more interaction, perhaps better with tasks broken down or with more kind of broader, all-encompassing activities. There are all sorts of variations we can create to get that balance right, or at least more comfortable and enjoyable for them.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the substance of those activities we might be setting or helping with at home, did we or did you learn anything as a parent about what our children can actually do or not? And did you find, think there was any big surprises about the fundamentals in your child's learning?
It's interesting. I think there were probably less surprises there, certainly for parents who are pretty involved generally in their children's learning. It maybe shone a light on what we already suspected in terms of strengths and weaknesses. So mm-hmm. knowing that your child struggles a bit with maths might have been highlighted during the Zoom lessons. Seeing just how tricky some tasks were for them might have provided a useful reminder that things are only easy when you can do them, which sounds completely obvious. Yeah. But it's worth holding on to when you're trying to help your child with schoolwork at home.
Yes. Yeah.
And I also think gaining an understanding of how concepts are taught in school, so how the skills are built up, like building blocks, to enable that secure understanding was really useful. And that if children fail to grasp one element of that skill development, it can actually be really difficult for them to proceed. As a parent, I think there's a lot you can take away from that in terms of supporting that skills tower, to continue the metaphor, and helping to fill any gaps that become apparent or became apparent during homeschooling. So that might have been in maths with particular times tables gaps, for instance, which create obstacles for other conceptual processes, or with knowledge of certain sounds in phonics, or anything really.
That was the one I was going to mention. If I was going to mention phonics, I can imagine that was quite an eye-opener.
Absolutely. And if you're missing some particular sounds, then it, you know, as you know, that has a huge knock-on effect. So it's about seeing the impact that those gaps have. It informs what needs to be worked on, whether that's at home in terms of where you can focus your support, or at school by speaking to teachers about extra support and tuition. It just makes for a sort of more joined up approach to learning, which I think is something we should all be taking away from this. And I certainly noticed that the parent consultation that we had that followed homeschooling felt completely different from ones we'd had previously with regard to our son.
Yeah, I bet.
In the way that we were able to communicate with the teacher, we just had much more of a shared understanding of who he is than previously, when we've actually been struck by how different teacher's perception was of him than ours, and we struggled to get those two kind of pictures of him to match. But I found that after lockdown we could sort of all acknowledge and identify those gaps in his learning together, talk about the best strategies, and it just felt a much more realistic kind of honest conversation. It was more useful than it's ever been, certainly.
Yeah, so it was an exercise in kind of learning who he is, like the whole, like, you know, the whole view of him, and, you know, inside and outside of school, and understanding him as an individual, really.
Absolutely, exactly.
So we've talked quite a lot about the benefits of homeschooling and the successful outcomes, but for many parents, for my friends and family, I know it was an enormous challenge, and I just felt very lucky that all I had to do was put my daughter in front of Peppa Pig because she wasn't at school age. But do you think that these upsides make up for that?
We did a fair bit of that as well, to be honest, so don't feel bad. But you're right, of course, and I'm not trying to detract from those challenges in any way. For many parents, and I absolutely include myself in this, it was one of the harder aspects of parenting I've encountered. I'm not a teacher. My son is not a particularly motivated, independent learner. So yes, it was really, really, really tough. But I think there are positives that we have to take away from it as kind of compensation. We know more about how our children learn, more about how they cope and communicate in the classroom, more about the challenges they face, where their strengths lie, than we ever did before. And, you know, knowledge is power, they say. So let's take that forward and take it as a win.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to see the positives out of it, don't you? So turning it on its head then, what were the downsides to being so involved with your children's learning?
Well, that's quite an interesting point. And I think there probably were...
keep it clean.
some outcomes that were tricky to manage. It can feel quite hard to hand that control back to schools and to head back into the dark in terms of what happens beyond the classroom door. Dipping in and out of anything with that degree of intensity is quite frustrating. So going from such a position of involvement and responsibility to one of so much less, to knowing a lot, to knowing much less, is quite disorientating, actually. And I think for teachers, having had parents so involved, maybe quite difficult in terms of managing those relationships moving forward. Teachers are the experts, after all, but now there are probably quite a lot of parents who think they know more than that's helpful. But lockdown was bizarre and destabilizing generally. And so in some ways, the experience of homeschooling just became kind of grouped under that umbrella experience. The whole thing was incredibly hard and boring and depressing and frightening. And I think homeschooling could be categorized as all those things for most parents and children, to be honest.
Yeah.
But unlike other aspects of lockdown, there were some real benefits. And knowing a little bit more about our children, or perhaps knowing our children a little better, is definitely one of those benefits.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And giving yourself a massive pat on the back for that as well, for getting through it and for continuing with
Absolutely.
Your children's learning. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was really interesting. It was great to talk to you, as always.
Thank you.